While probably all mammals can experience fear, they certainly look as though they experience fear, only human beings are probably capable of experiencing anxiety. And that's because only human beings are really capable of thinking of the future in a detailed and analytical kind of way. And if we think of any moment in which we're feeling anxious, we realize that, well, sometimes the anxiety is about an underlying feeling, for example, that we're having difficulty acknowledging. But very often, the anxiety is associated with a thought. And even if the anxiety is actually generated by difficulty facing an underlying feeling, often there'll be some kind of thought of some kind of disaster that nonetheless occupies our attention. In other words, we can be actually sad and having difficulty dealing with sadness, but what we consciously experience is just being really worried about the exam tomorrow. So one of the other ways that mindfulness practice can help us to work with anxiety disorders is by helping us to disentangle from our thoughts, to really recognize that thoughts are indeed just thoughts. A lot of times when people are very anxious, they get trapped in rumination. And rumination, you know, it comes from cows chewing their cud, the origin of the word, is the thinking over and over and over about some theme. Very often the theme of rumination has to do with negative aspects of interactions with others. What did that person think of me? How might I have spoken to him or her differently? What does this mean about our relationship? Or imagining that others are thinking negatively of us. That person's going to be mad at me if I do this, that, or the other thing. Or maybe they are mad at me because I did do this, that, or the other thing. So how are we going to manage these thoughts? Many anxious folks try thought suppression. I just will try not to think of it. And indeed, we even have behavioral techniques such as putting a rubber band around your wrist and snapping it every time that you have one of these thoughts that you don't like as a form of thought stopping. But what we find from the research on this in the laboratory is that thought suppression actually doesn't work very well. That the more we suppress a thought, the more it exists latently and comes up in our associations. And they set up lab studies in which they have people deliberately not thinking about something and then do some kind of free association test, various kinds of tests, projective tests that get at what's going on underneath. And indeed, what happens is the more you suppress a thought, the more it actually occupies the mind, even if at a subconscious or unconscious level. What works much better is allowing thoughts to come and go. And of course, mindfulness practice trains us how to allow thoughts to come and go. Now, one aid, and this comes out of the Vipassana tradition, which is the kind of early Buddhist tradition of mindfulness practices, the monks found themselves getting tangled up in thought, and they came up with a technique which is very similar to what we do in CBT, which is known as thought labeling. And thought labeling means sitting with an object of awareness. It could be walking meditation and the sensations of the feet like we talked about. It could be a breath focused meditation, although we discussed how that can be tough for some folks who are very anxious. Could be nature meditation or a listening meditation. But whatever form we're doing, where we're bringing our attention to some kind of sensory object, it's likely the thoughts are going to arise in the mind. And what to do with them? The usual instruction is to let them come and go like clouds passing through the sky, but an alternative is to do this thought labeling. And that means simply picking a few terms or categories that you can attach to each thought so as to, in a sense, permit the thought to come and go, but to be able to see it as an object rather than identifying with its content as reality. So, example, possible categories could be planning, remembering, judging, and you're sitting there with whatever the object of your awareness is, and then suddenly the thought comes in and you can notice it. Oh yeah, judging. Ah, planning. Judging again. Judging the fact that I'm planning. And this goes on and on, but it gives you a way to have a little bit of perspective on the thought. And you can combine this with traditional CBT identification of maladaptive thought patterns and use anxiety-related labeling like, ah, that's catastrophizing. That's overgeneralizing. Ah, that's personalizing. That's regretting. And by doing this, And practicing being with thought in this way, it's not that we're getting rid of it, but it stops having the same grip on us because we start to notice the thought as a passing phenomena rather than the thought as a solid reality.